Welcome to the Manx Theatre Podcast.
Come on to the theatre.
Hello, and welcome back to episode 52 of the Manx Theatre Podcast with me, Neil Callan. Thank you to everyone who's listened to our previous episodes. If you're brand new to the podcast, welcome along and thanks for joining us. In this podcast, we like to try and keep you up to date with what's going on in theatre on the Isle of Man, chatting to the cast and creatives of upcoming shows, and to find out a little bit more about the shows and the people behind them. And also, what our Manx born and bred performers are doing further afield.
Coming up on this week's podcast.
I'm joined by Christine Sutcliffe and Lisa Kreisky from the Stage Door Entertainment, ahead of their upcoming production of Steel Magnolias. You can still listen to all of our previous episodes through all the usual podcast outlets and at manxradio.com/podcasts. Whilst you're there, make sure to give us a like and click subscribe or follow or whatever it is you need to do to make sure you never miss an episode. In the last episode, I gave you a rundown of what some of our Manxborn performers are doing off-island. One of the people who I hadn't had an update from at the time of recording was John Young, who has just announced that he will be returning to Storyhouse's Grosvenor Park Open Air Theatre to direct a brand new production of The Gangs of New York as part of this year's summer season. The Gangs of New York runs from Friday 19th of July to Saturday 31st of August. Other productions in the summer season include Oscar Wilde's The Importance of Being Earnest, which runs from Friday the 9th of August to Sunday the 1st of September, and The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, which is a walkabout theatre experience, and this runs from Saturday the 27th of July through to Thursday the 22nd of August. So, if you're going to find yourself near Chester in any of the above dates and want to go, you can book tickets through storyhouse.com. MADFA have announced the lineup for this year's Easter Festival of Plays. Once again, this year's festival will be a mix of both full-length and one-act plays, as well as a youth competition. The festival opens on Saturday 30th of March with two one-act plays, with Carol Churchill's Escaped Alone, performed by the Russian Players, and Harold Pinter's Victoria Station, performed by Parados Theatre Company. Sunday 31st of March sees the first full-length play and the first of two entries from last year's winners, White Cobra, from Northamptonshire, and they'll be performing Lilies of the Land by Lion's Part. On Monday 1st of April, we'll see White Cobra's second full-length production, The Father, by Florian Zeller. On Tuesday 2nd of April, it's back to the one acts, and Russian Player's second entry, Two, by Jim Cartwright, followed by the first youth entry of Maria McConville's Viral, performed by Platform Theatre School. Wednesday 3rd of April sees the final full-length play with a production of 1984 by George Orwell from the Wellington Theatre Company. The festival then finishes on Thursday 4th of April with the final two one-act performances, both from the Service Players, who will be presenting Babysitting Calvin by John H. Neumeyer, and The Dumb Waiter by Harold Pinter. Now, a few weeks ago, it saw the Northwest District 2 Noda Awards and saw a large contingent from the DCU, Manx Ops and Centre Stage travel to Blackpool with the hope of bringing home a few awards. And bring them home they did. The Manx Operatic Society came away with one award for Annie Get Your Gun, and that was the best leading female character in a musical for Kate Calley's performance as Annie Oakley. The Douglas Choral Union came away with four awards for Young Frankenstein, with Tony Eccles winning Best Leading Male in a Musical, and today's guest, Lisa Kreisky, winning Best Supporting Female Character in a Musical. They also won Best Programme, Peacock Class, and Best Staging. Centre Stage came away with two awards for their production of Elf, the Musical, with Brisha Krukel and Molly Bowman winning Best Choreography for a Musical, and former Secretary Jem Last for contributions to amateur theatre. Make sure you keep up to date what's going on between episodes by following Manx Theatre Podcast on both Facebook and Instagram and at Manx Theatre Pod on Twitter. Right, down to business. I'm joined in the studio today by Christine Sutcliffe and Lisa Kreisky from Stage Door Entertainment, ahead of their upcoming production of Steel Magnolias. Ladies, welcome back to the podcast. What must be, what, the fifth, sixth time now?
At least the 75th,
something like that.
You're definitely up there with the most visited guests on the podcast.
Well, thank you very much.
We're so proud.
So, we're here today to talk about Steel Magnolias, your upcoming production. Mm-hmm. Tell us all about it.
It is a play that we are performing at Ballycommune Studio Theatre from the 14th to the 17th of March. Mm-hmm. And it is a cast of six amazing women, and it's all about, it's a very much a story of female empowerment and friendship and strong women getting each other through heartbreak, adversity, with the most extraordinary amount of humour. It is just, it's got absolutely everything. It's got humour, it's got heartbreak, it's got like proper belly laughs, but I think the overriding theme is this theme of support and friendship between these women. which is just amazing to watch, especially during rehearsals.
Yeah. And I guess most people will know it from the 1989
correct
film the most, but the play came first. So rather than this being a play of the film, the film came after the play.
Mm-hmm.
And the film kind of expands on the story a bit, doesn't it?
Well, exactly. The play is the stage play was, I think, came out originally in 1987. And the screenplay then came out 2 years later, as you say. But for the stage play, it's just a cast of six women. For the screenplay, they added the male characters in. So actually in the stage play, you hear about the men,
mm-hmm,
but you never see them.
Yes.
There's no supporting actors.
Yes. Yeah. You hear about Drum and all his mm-hmm escapades and the boys and mm-hmm shooting the birds and things like that. But yeah, you never see them, do you?
No. So we have quite a responsibility because obviously we have to develop our own characters and the relationships between us. But we have to invent and tell everyone about our whole town and
yeah
the people who live with us and the people who we see in the wider community and our relationships with those people too.
And especially with Chrissy's character, actually, because Chrissy's character doesn't come in until maybe sort of 2/3 of the way through the first scene. But we hear so much about her.
Mm.
So you almost have an idea of the characters, but of her character.
I can't help being a legend, darling.
You really are, babe. Like, it's amazing. So it's nice because you hear all about Weezer, but then when she comes in, you think, ah, yes, there she is.
Bit of a busybody.
Battle axe.
Actually. Yeah.
I don't know how we thought to cast her.
I mean, it's been tricky being sort of grumpy and sarcastic and a bit miserable.
Been a real stretch for her.
It really has. It's such a stretch. Yeah. Lovable, though.
Very lovable. And just she knows what she is and she celebrates it.
Yeah.
And we love her for that.
And me or Weezer?
Both.
Yeah.
Life imitates art. Yeah.
Always.
And there are six really good sort of strong female characters, aren't they? And they're all quite different in their own ways as well, aren't they?
Yeah, we've been very fortunate that we've approached these women to play these parts, and each of them has just what I didn't want as a director is to have carbon copies of the film.
Yeah,
that's, you know, that's not fun as an actor. It's not fun to be a blueprint of something that's come before.
Yeah,
and I really am so proud and so appreciative that these six women, these six amazing actresses, have taken the script and completely made it their own, made the characters their own. You know, I think that's really difficult to do with such an iconic.
Yes.
An iconic performance, you know, how Gráinne Jochen has taken the character that was made famous by Dolly Parton
yeah
and completely made mm-hmm it her own. And she is unbelievable, just as they all are. And I'm really impressed by how much they've made it their own.
I mean, in that original film, though, you've got Sally Field, Julia Roberts, Dolly Parton, as you said, Daryl Hannah, Olympia Dukakis and Shirley MacLaine. I mean, there's some absolute legends there,
aren't
there?
Some big shoes to fill.
There were some seriously big shoes to fill, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So in the cast then, you just mentioned we've got Gráinne Jochen playing Truvy, which was the role played by Dolly Parton. We've got Emma Callan, my wonderful wife.
She's lovely. Thank you for lending her to us.
Anytime. And she's playing Malin, which was played by Sally Field.
Mm-hmm.
Beth Thomas is Malin's daughter, Shelby, who was played by Julia Roberts. There's Bryony Grant playing Annell, who was played by Daryl Hannah. Rachel Braidwood is playing Clary, played by Olympia Dukakis. And Chrissy, as we said before, is playing Weezer Boudreau, who was played by Shirley MacLaine.
That's right, yeah. What's happening is, like Lisa's already said, we're sort of discovering these own characters. But it's really, really nice because between Emma and Beth, the mother and daughter character, there is really lovely chemistry starting.
Yeah.
Really, really lovely chemistry. And we're getting close now, but so it's evolving and developing all the time. And then, so because some of us knew each other quite well.
Yeah.
And others of us didn't know each other quite as well. So it's been nice within the sort of six of us, seven with obviously our lovely director, but to kind of see those relationships developing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're real life relationships developing, but also then it's breathing life into the relationships on the stage.
Something that I was really passionate about when Chrissy and I talked about doing this show is that the six women and me as the director, obviously it's an all female company,
yeah,
that we should socialise and do social things outside rehearsals, mm-hmm. so that the bond can be genuine.
Yeah,
it's been really tricky. We've had to drink wine together and eat dinner. It's
eat
been
cake.
Really hard. It's been a real stretch. Yeah, but no, it's been fantastic. It's been great fun.
And we've been rehearsing at my house as well.
Yes,
which is, I think, has added that little bit of sort of intimacy, and you know, we all stand there for half an hour and have a catch up first before we get down to business. But
don't tell him that, he'll think I'm a skiving off.
Oh, she is a little bit. She loves it. She loves coming there.
Yeah.
But what I will say is that actually, I did this play in my third year at drama school when I was at Mount View.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember just absolutely gasping to get to rehearsals, because we had that time together and that chemistry, and we had a female director. And I mean, it wasn't quite directed in the same way that I'm directing this now, because, you know, we put our own little stage door spin on it.
Yeah.
But I remember just the feeling of camaraderie and friendship and empowerment that we all gave each other. And I really wanted to transfer that over to these girls. And they've surpassed everything that I thought that they would. Already,
yeah.
And there's still a week to go.
Yeah, and you know, and it's a play, so there's a lot of dialogue in there, and there are some meaty speeches here and there, aren't there? And
especially for Emma,
yes. And yeah, and I've sat and helped her through.
Apparently, someone's been helping her. Well done.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thanks for that, Neil.
Yeah. Has to be done. You know, it's like I'm just sat there just with a cup of tea. Can you give some lines? Okay. But obviously, as well, this is set in Chinkapin County.
Fictional place Parish, Louisiana.
In Louisiana, yes, which obviously Louisiana is a very real place in South America. So there's the accent as well that has to come into play as well.
None of the, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Chrissy, but I don't feel like any of you have struggled with the accent at all.
No.
I think because it's so identifiable and so fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can really put, so it lends itself very well to the comedy of the script.
Yeah.
It's the most American, I think. 100%.
Well,
it's so thick.
Yeah.
And just, it's set in the 1980s. So as much as you're saying, yes, okay, it's a straight play, for want of a better word, the soundtrack that we've put with it is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, it's worth the ticket price alone because it's set in the 80s. So, of course, you've got all these amazing 80s tunes. It's going to be a trip down memory lane for, well, anybody, really. I mean, the 80s are back, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
So the fashions, the, you know, the music, even the pop references.
Yeah.
It's you're going to be flying out of there on cloud nine.
And some of the biggest movies from the 80s are all back with their own, with their sequels. And we've had Top Gun Maverick last year. Mm-hmm. We've got Ghostbusters is back again. And yeah, there's lots of other films like that. They're on the way with a sequel 30 years later.
I vote Breakfast Club number 2.
Yeah. The Pensioners Club though now, wouldn't it?
Yeah. That's a good one.
So you're doing this up at Bala Community Studio Theatre, but you're performing in The Round.
We are. Well, they are.
Well, they are,
I'm
yes.
directing in The Round. They're the ones that are performing. And, I mean, for most of them, I think it's the first time they have performed in The Round. And it's very, very, it's a very different experience, because we're always told as actors, don't have your back to the audience.
Yeah.
But actually, in this respect, you've always got your back to somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the way it's been directed is that you are facing somebody all the time, but in the same moment, you've got your back to somebody. So anybody who comes to see it is always going to have something different to look at, which I think is, as much as that's challenging for an actor, it's also going to be really exciting for the audience, because, I mean, I can almost guarantee that not many of our audience members will have seen something in The Round.
No.
And, of course, we have another little special treat. Ooh. We're also encouraging bring your own wine, cocktails,
ooh,
beers,
ooh,
pop, whatever you want. It's BYOB and snacks.
Marvellous.
Which we're really encouraging. We're trying to say to people, come with your girlfriends, come with a date, come, you know, with anybody who you just want to have a really great fun time with. Bring your drinks, bring your snacks, bring your husband, bring your kids. Whatever you want.
Yeah, there is something for everybody. And I think the idea of having this sort of cafe seating, whilst from an actor's point of view, it's kind of terrifying because they're going to be basically in the shop, you know? So the whole thing takes place in Truvia's beauty parlour, which we find out is just a covered over carport.
You know?
So it's quite small, But yeah, so the people who, the audience, will feel very much like they are almost sat, especially at the front, they'll be like they're sat waiting for an appointment,
yeah,
you know, and that kind of vibe of sitting waiting for your appointment.
Next,
at the
please.
Hairdressers.
It's going to be an immersive experience,
yeah,
which
yeah.
is something that we're at Stage Door, we really enjoy. We enjoy doing something different. We enjoy involving the audience. You know, it's not going to be audience participation or anything, but we very much want them to feel like they're involved in these women's lives. Mm-hmm. And what better way than to be sat in a beauty shop having a glass of wine.
Yeah, I mean, we're always told as performers, you know, that you always need to be performing, because even if you're not involved with the scene, someone in that theatre is going to be watching you. And I guess in this kind of instance, when you're all around the accent, you, there's always going to be someone that's looking
at you.
Absolutely,
there's nowhere to hide.
Nowhere to hide.
It's going to be on your A game the whole time.
Oh, well, bring
they
it
always
on.
Are.
Well, of course they are, of course they are.
We've got lots of different show times as well, which we've kind of done on purpose.
Yes.
We've sort of said, you know, there's a girls' night out, girls stroke boys' night out, you know, it's not just for women. Girls' night out, you know, 7:30 start, either come here and then go out for drinks, or we've got a 2 o'clock start on the Saturday also. So, you know, you could come, see it, have a little Prosecco and then go out, you know, on your on for dinner afterwards if you wanted to. And a little bit different, we've got an 11:30 a.m. show on the Sunday, which is kind of like a Sunday brunch type vibe. So I just think the atmosphere is just going to be absolutely electric. It's going to be lots of people taking a trip down memory lane and just having a great old time.
And enough time to get over the couple of glasses of wine you had the night before as well.
Absolutely. Hair of the dog.
I was going to say that about your brunch one. What was the idea behind that?
Literally, well, that's Sunday brunch.
Yeah, we like the idea of, so when we decided we were going to do it in the round, we decided that we wanted to make it sort of like cafe style seating. And then it was like, well, actually, should we have it around sort of maybe kind of meal time? Should we encourage people to bring their drinks and their snacks? And then we thought, well, why don't we do a brunch one? And we've been rehearsing on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And when you were talking before about, you know, being excited to go to rehearsals, even though it's a Sunday morning, there hasn't been one time where I've thought, oh, I'm not really up for this, because it's just, it's glorious. It's such good fun being with the girls, but also we're telling these amazing stories. So yeah, so the brunch one came perhaps out of that a little bit as well, from all being together on a Sunday morning.
And it also means that we'll be curtained down by 2 o'clock on the last show, and then we can all go out and have a lovely late lunch afterwards.
Or go and see the matinee Volva.
Or go and see the matinee. Oh no, I think we'll be a little bit late for that. We'll go and watch that during the week.
Yeah, yeah.
Afterwards.
Yes. Yeah. Once you've relaxed and recovered. Yeah.
Okay. Something that I will say though about this show, and what I'm always really overwhelmed with, is the support that we've had from everybody, including the other companies. You know, the other societies. They've all been really encouraging. They've all been, you know, posting our advert on their pages, and I just, It's so overwhelming and touching when companies, especially Manx companies over here, join together and support each other.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we're always supporting anything over here. I mean, you know, we'd go and watch literally anything that our friends were in.
Yeah.
And we're just always so touched and overwhelmed by the support that we get from people. So we just wanted to say thank you very much for all that. And that includes you, Neil, because we love you.
And because Bryony and Beth, they're both in rehearsals at the moment with myself for Jersey Boys in the summer. So, I mean, and Alex was careful to organise rehearsals so that they didn't clash with yours. Although we're getting a little bit tight now, but for the most part.
Also, the Beth and Bryony, they seem to come with a package now, but like me and Chrissy, they just finished in Evita as well.
Yes, yeah.
So it was lovely, and we all went to support them in that, and they were just gorgeous, as was the whole show. But yeah, they're ours now. We've got them. You can have them afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah. So now, since you guys were last on, we've added a couple of new questions.
Ooh.
So I'm not going to go through all the old questions because we've heard them from you before. But
what are you trying to say? We're old. Really?
No.
Boring, darling.
No.
Boring.
Old and boring. Brilliant. Thanks, Neil.
You be old, I'll be boring.
Well, your first show hasn't changed.
No, that's true.
And how you got started hasn't changed either, so.
No.
But some of my questions have changed.
And
anyway,
your costumes.
So, and my costumes,
yes. Didn't see him doing that, did you?
It was a quick one. It was a quick flash. I didn't mean a flash. I mean,
yeah,
anyway.
You did.
It's a good job there's no cameras, isn't it? Or is there?
Oh, is there? Uh-huh.
Right, so anyway, to the new questions that we've got. What is the strangest or funniest thing to go wrong on stage that you've hopefully managed to keep from the audience? Oh. There may have been some in Young Frankenstein.
No, the funniest one in Young Frankenstein was during rehearsals where I was doing my big number and I put my foot through in front of the whole tech crew, put my foot through the chair. But that wasn't on stage. On stage. When I was doing a play with Carl Parker, yeah. I was doing Educating Rita.
Right.
And he, in the second half, he had to get steadily more drunk yeah. as the show went on. And he skipped two scenes.
Ooh.
So I came on thinking that he'd just be a bit tiddly and yeah. he was flat drunk on the floor. And I yeah. thought, how are you going to get more drunk than this as this show goes on? But he managed it, which yeah. was quite impressive. And I remember looking into the corner and Kate Diver's just shaking her head and shrugging and going, I don't know where he is either.
Yeah.
But me and Carl worked so well together, it didn't really matter. We just laughed about it.
Yeah, I did a play with the service play. It was a one-act play. With Helen McKenna, who is helping you out as well.
She is our backstage crew.
Excellent.
Just there.
And, so this play was called Is the Seat Taken? And it was a couple who were trying to spice up their marriage with a bit of role play, and it kept going wrong. So we kept restarting it. So you'd kind of come in and you sort of, is the seat taken? You start the conversation, mm-hmm. it kind of fall apart, and you go back and you start again with, is the seat taken? And you're like running through the same sort of process 3, 4, 5 times. And I'm sat there, a couple of times in rehearsals, Helen jumped through to the wrong one.
Mm.
So we were sat there on stage doing it one night. And she said that the line, and I thought, hang on, she just jumped like 18 pages to the next one. And I'm sat there sort of furiously in my mind trying to flip her through the good one. Oh no, hang on, she's got the right one. We're okay, we can carry on. But fortunately, it was just like one of those things where I had a little bit of a, my actual character, it was written that was in the script. So for what felt like about 15 seconds of me panicking was actually only about
three beats. It feels like, 3 weeks, doesn't it? Yeah.
That exact same thing happened to me with Chris Kane.
Yeah.
About 75,000 times, where he just jumps all over the script, and you think, do you know what? Just do what you want.
there's a great story about him in a service player's play where he was playing some kind of burglar and had to climb in along a ledge at the back, and he was doing it, and then realised he was two scenes too early and went back out again.
That might be what I'm talking about.
Probably, yeah.
If that's When Did You Last See Your Trousers, that was the one.
Probably, yes.
It's a great show.
Chrissy, what have you got any?
Oh, well, there probably loads, but the only one I can think of at the moment is I did Winterfest with my lovely little vocal ensemble choir. And Winterfest, you have a lot of people come together in a very short amount of time and pull off something really beautiful, and massive respect for Dave for organising all of that, Dave Kilgallen. But we had some of the chaps from Elf as well. They did a bit of Elf, and then there was my choir singing this really lovely thing with like the big finale piece with everybody singing. And they hadn't quite realised, some of the chaps from Elf, namely Jeff Pugh and Chris Kane, dressed as Santa.
Yeah.
As why wouldn't you? So I'm there ready to start this enormous piece with the whole band and my ensemble. And I look, and Chris Kane and Jeff are both there.
Like, with all the kids.
Not yet, like beautiful, like, you know, sort of teenage girls.
Yeah.
And then those two. And I was like, okay. And I looked at them and Jeff looked at me and Jeff kind of got it, I think, and he went off. And Chris watched him go and I thought, all right, okay. So Chris was staying, obviously.
All right.
And I started, and as the music started, he obviously realised it was the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And he's sidling off, sidestepping. So Santa's sidestepping off. And like at the end, then they came on and afterwards they said to him, what were you doing, boys? And Jeff was like, oh, yeah, we realised. And then I was like, but Chris, why did you stay on? And he said, well, I assume Jeff had gone to get the others.
That is a real Chris Kane moment.
It's like, oh, but yeah, that's the most recent hilarious moment I can think of. But there's always something in every show that
it's usually me falling over, isn't it?
It's quite often you.
It's quite often me. I've fallen over a lot on stage.
Yeah,
a lot.
Yeah.
Once during an audio recording, and you just I won't do it on your lovely microphones, but all you can hear is me. I know that it was when I did a high kick, and my supporting leg just went up too, and I just went. Just fell on my back, and Liam Bean was just I turned around and he was just laughing at me.
Which show was that?
Anything Goes.
Anything Goes, of course, yeah. Yes.
Him and Joe Hillard and Matt Maney just literally just shaking with laughter. I was meant to be being sexy. It wasn't very sexy.
Yeah.
No.
Not so much. Oh, I know.
She tries.
Yeah. So between the three of us, we've got quite a lot of those. We could be here all day.
Yeah. Okay, the other question then that's a new one is there a new show with a part that you'd love to play, but you can't because you're too old?
I know. Never. Yeah, loads. Oh, yeah. Mine's always been Blood Brothers. I've always wanted to play Linda, but I'm too old to play her now. I'll have to be one of the old crones. A new show?
Yeah. So you think about Heathers and, well, there's Matilda and Mean Girls and everybody's talking about Jamie.
But we're not too old to play that part because she's a woman and she's a mum.
Yeah, the mum one.
Yeah, we could play that.
Yeah, but are you too old to play Jamie? Probably.
Well, and a bit too a woman. Yeah.
And his classmates.
and not a teenager.
Yeah.
But I would like to play, I'm not too old, but I am too much a girl. I'd like to play the King in Hamilton.
Yes, you'd be so good at that.
That would be my go-to.
But, can we be too female rather than too old?
Yeah, yeah.
I would like to play... Oh, sorry, it's Blood Brothers again because it's my favourite, but Mickey. I'd love to play Mickey.
Too old again and too female.
I know.
I'd love to play the narrator in Blood Brothers.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, so you can be female to do that, though. There you go.
I could do
that instead.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, somebody do Blood Brothers then.
Yeah, I'll do Blood Brothers, yeah. Next year.
I don't think anybody can afford the rights, can they?
Okay, what we'll do then, we'll go back to our Spotify playlist. So as regular listeners to the podcast will know, back in 2020, after the first lockdown, we created this musical theatre playlist to be the ultimate theatre playlist. And Neil King and myself, we added 10 songs each to the playlist just to get it started, because no one wants to listen to a playlist of 2 songs. It's the shortest playlist ever. So every guest that's come onto the podcast since then has added a song onto the list. Some people have been fortunate enough to add a second. So these are songs that are something that... they're either songs that we've performed in shows, they're songs that we love, songs from shows that we've been in, or songs that mean something special to us. So some of the songs that we've had include... Now, Emma chose the overture from West Side Story because she knew she wanted a song from West Side Story but couldn't decide which one. And West Side Story is a proper old school overture that plays a little bit of every song from the show. So she thought, that's the perfect one. Mm-hmm. It covers them all. Let's see who else. I'm pretty sure we've got Bryony on here. She chose Quiet from 13 Stories Down.
Oh, Grania's there.
Yes, where's Grania?
El Tango de Roxanne from Moulin Rouge.
Yes. Who else have we got? We haven't had Rachel on yet. Chrissy, you chose, first time round, you chose... I Am What I Am from La Cage aux Folles.
Oh, lovely. I love
and
that song.
And Lisa, you chose Marilyn Monroe from Blood Brothers.
Shocker.
So pretty. Tell us something.
I know. I'm obsessed with that musical. I have been ever since. I used to do my mum a concert in the car going to dancing.
Oh, bless.
When I was a Christine Wilde girl. They wouldn't let me in there now. Too rubbish.
Too old.
Too old.
Did you have that on tape or CD?
Pardon? Oh, it would have been tape.
Tape, yeah.
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 No. Yes.
Yeah. Mm. Played so much you almost wore it out.
Yeah.
So, ladies, what is the song you would like to add this time around?
So, it's a bit of a convoluted way to getting back to Steel Magnolias. So, obviously, that's very much in our lives at the moment, and the camaraderie between these women and obviously what happens in the show. Dolly Parton is the face of Truvy in the film. So we wanted to use one of her songs. So we've gone to The Bodyguard and I Will Always Love You.
Wonderful.
So we've crowbarred it in there.
Literally, yes. With a shoehorn.
Tenuous, but we'll go with it. Yeah.
We'll go with it. Plus, We love a bit
next
of Dolly.
Next time we're here, we'll be like, why did we put that on?
We never question ourselves, Chrissy. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, I'll just put on a little. I'll put a little note on the spreadsheet that just says Steel Magnolias, just so you know.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes, just so it's not too random.
Why did we choose Dolly Parton? Right, ladies. So Steel Magnolias is playing at the Balakameen Studio Theatre from the 14th to the 17th of March. You've got nightly performances Thursday to Saturday at 7:30 p.m. A 2 p.m. matinee on Saturday the 16th and an 11:30 a.m. brunch performance on Sunday the 17th. If you've not done so already, make sure you get your tickets from thestudiotheatre.im and be quick about it. Tickets are £15 each with a special offer of 2 for £25 for the brunch performance. Ladies, I wish you all the very, very best for Steel Magnolias and I look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Thanks, Neil.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Manx Theatre Podcast with Neil Cullen.
A couple of weeks ago, Taylorian Productions held their auditions for their summer production of We Will Rock You. The cast has now been announced, and we will see Casey Crane playing Galileo, Georgia Neal playing Scaramouche, Joey Wilde playing Brit, Michael Bonner playing Buddy, Matt James playing Khashoggi, Alice Quayle playing Oz, and Sarah Holland makes her stage return after about 10 or 12 years away, playing the Killer Queen. We Will Rock You runs at the Gaiety Theatre from the 1st to the 10th of August. Last weekend also saw the additions for Centre Stage Productions' October production of School of Rock. Unfortunately, at the time of recording, the cast list has not been released yet, but I'll bring it to you as soon as it has. Well, with that, we'll bring episode 52 to a close. Thanks once again to Chrissy and Lisa for joining me on the podcast, and I wish them and everyone involved with Steel Magnolias all the very best for their run. In the next episode, I'll be chatting with Mark Doherty, Victoria McLaughlin and Jonathan Slight from the Manx Operatic Society about their upcoming production of Oliver. Don't forget to check out the Spotify playlist by searching for Manx Theatre Podcast, and that's all one word. There's almost 90 tracks on there now and over 6 hours of show tunes to satisfy your musical theatre needs. If you have any events that you'd like to talk about or promote in a future episode, you can contact me through our social media accounts or by email to manxtheatrepodcast@gmail.com. All that remains is to say thanks for listening, and I hope you join me again next time. I've been Neil Callan, and you've been listening to the Manx Theatre Podcast. Goodbye.
The Manx Theatre Podcast, taking a look behind the scenes of Manx Theatre.
Than actors alive for me.